that. Thank you so much, Eric and Bethany, Jim Burleson. Jim Burleson. I just don't know what to say about Jim Burleson. You know, I know he knows five Bible verses. He's quoted all five of them to me. Oh, don't even start. Go on. Go on. Hey, listen, I hope you're having a good week. And we're going to have a good time tonight studying God's Word. And I want to remind you that Sunday is wear your work clothes to church Sunday. Do you know that we have got about 100 mission projects lined up for Sunday all across our city? And we've got about 1,600 of us signed up and committed to go. Is that not wonderful? 1,600. In fact, I saw Jim Gibson a few moments ago. I said, I'm going to try to recruit 100 more. He said, please don't. But we've got a place for you. In fact, if you're not signed up, you can still come on Sunday and be a part of that. And we've even got a job for those that hadn't signed up. So it'd be a great day of ministry across our city, meeting physical needs and sharing the gospel and praying with people. And it's going to be a great day. So you come to Sunday School Sunday to worship. We're going to have a box of lunches out here and grab you a lunch real quick and get to where you're supposed to go. And if you're not too sure where to go, just hang out there and somebody will point you in a direction. That's this coming Sunday, all right? Somebody said a moment ago, they said, now, a few of us are going to be gone next week. And I thought, a few of us are going every week. But some of you are going, is it the Cove you're going to? Is that right? How many of you are going to the Cove next week? Two? Pardon me? Pigeon Forge. How many of you going to Pigeon Forge next week? Well, there are not too many of you then. Well, if you end up going, Stephen Beasley wanted me to let you know that the audio of these studies are going to now be available on our website, okay? So if you miss one, if you want to pass one on to someone else, just direct them to the website, and I'm sure it'll be easy to find on that website, okay? So that is just information. Hey, listen, tonight, I hope you got your Bible with you. I hope you have something to write on, write with, as we study God's Word together tonight. So I want to invite you to take your Bible and join me in Psalm 34. We are continuing a study that we just launched a couple weeks ago under the heading of Making Sense of Our Senses. Making Sense of Our Senses. I mean, have you ever really stopped and considered why God gave us our five senses? Well, we discovered last time together that God not only gave us these five senses to help keep us satisfied through our taste and to help keep us safe through our sight, to help keep us sure through our hearing, to keep us secure through our touch, and to help keep us sharp through our smell. But he gave them to us to help make us saved. Saved, yeah? God has given us these five senses, and I want us to consider them as a gift from God. See, they not only help us physically function, but they help us to have spiritual faith. Think of it this way. Greater than helping us to function physically is helping give us faith spiritually. It's through our five senses that God's given us that helps us know God, to help us sense God, to help us move toward God, and yes, even to trust God. In fact, have you ever considered how your five senses can help you have a greater knowledge of God? Well, they can. I mean, you can learn a lot about God simply through your five senses. Now, you say, well, Ernest, how's that? I mean, how can I get to know God better and have a greater knowledge of God through my five senses? Well, I'll remind you, back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God said this. He said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. And then in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Now, when God created us, male and female, the Bible says that He made us, created us in His own what? In His own image. That word image, it means likeness. It means a pattern. In fact, it speaks of an appearance resembling something. In other words, included being created in His image are our five senses. See, our senses resemble His senses. And of course they do because we're made in His image, in His likeness. Let me show you what I mean. Psalm 34 verse 8 is where we read this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. By the way, did you hear the choir sing that last week on Sunday? Were you even here Sunday? The choir, it is a powerful, powerful song that's wrapped around this great verse, Psalm 34, verse 8, where the psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So the Bible here mentions our sense of taste. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So why did God give us this sense of taste? Well, one reason He gave it to us is because we're made in His image. We're made in His likeness. So you say, well, can God taste? Well, of course He can taste. In fact, Matthew 27, 34, it says that they gave Him, that is Jesus, sour wine mingled with gall to drink, but when He had tasted it, He would not drink. Now you said, oh, wait a minute. I mean, that's Jesus. And you're correct. That was Jesus. But I'm also quick to remind you that Jesus was not only fully man, but He was fully God. In fact, did you know that you first read about Jesus in Genesis chapter 1. You say, no, wait a moment. He was born in Luke chapter 2. No, listen, you read about Jesus in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26 when the Bible says this, that God said, let us make man in our image. Do you see Jesus there? Let us. Right in the middle of creating everything, we find Jesus. Right there in the middle of it, including our five senses. Listen, God, or we taste because God tastes. Hey, listen, we see because God sees. You say, God sees? Well, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 says, then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. I give you another one. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. How about Psalm 34, verse 15? The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Do you see it? Our five senses remind us that we're made in the image of God. See, we taste because God tastes. We see because God sees. We hear because what? Because God hears. Psalm 34, verse 4. David says, I sought the Lord. Listen to this. And He heard me. Isn't that a good word? I sought the Lord and He heard me. Verse 6, he goes on to say, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. Verse 15, I'm in Psalm 34, and His ears are open to their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Psalm 69, verse 33, for the Lord hears the poor. Jeremiah 33, 3, God says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So why call to God? Well, why cry out to God? Here's why. Because we've got a God, listen to this, that hears us. That's good news tonight. That as we pray to him, as we cry out to him, as we call to him, he hears us. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know that verse. Why call? I tell you why. Because God hears. John 9, 31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. I'm just saying that it is a part of being made in the image of God that we taste because God tastes, that we see because God sees, that we hear because God hears. Listen, we touch because God what? Because God touches. Isaiah 59, 11, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. How about Isaiah 49, 16? God said, see, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. How about Matthew 8, 14 and 15? Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. He had touched her hand, and the fever left, and she arose and served them. Hey, folks, put it down, that whatever Jesus touches, he makes whole. That whatever he touches, he makes whole. Has he touched your life? Has he? If he's touched your life, then he's made you whole. See, it's a part of being made in his image. See, we taste because he tastes. We see because he sees. We hear because we've got a God that hears us. And we touch because God touches. Hey, listen to this. We smell because God smells. It's a part of being made in his image. 2 Corinthians 2:15, Paul says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those that are being saved and among those who are perishing. Hey, by the way, tomorrow is the senior adult luncheon. How many of you come to that luncheon every month? Listen, tomorrow we're going to unpack 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, where Paul says, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ to those that are being saved and among those that are perishing. Genesis 8, 21, and the Lord smelled. He smelled a soothing aroma. Now, I don't know about you, but when I consider that my five God-given senses that helps me function physically and that helps give me faith spiritually, knowing that I'm made in the image of God, I want to say along with the psalmist, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Amen? Have you ever considered our senses being a part of being made in the image of God? Well, tonight, as we consider the sense of sight. Last time it was taste. Tonight it is sight. I want you to see here in Psalm 34, verse 8, where the psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Hey, you know one reason God gave us this sense of sight? One reason he gave it to us is for us to see his goodness. I mean, that's what the psalmist says right here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He gave us sight. Yes, because we're made in his image. But he gave us sight in order to see his goodness. I was reading recently about the human eye. It's incredible, this gift that God's given us. I quote, our eyes are capable of processing 36,000 pieces of information every hour. They efficiently deliver data to your brain to process so that you can contextualize and evaluate it instantly. One eye consists of more than 2 million working parts. Our eyes are incredibly complex. The retina lies in the back of the eye, but it is actually a part of the brain, a mere half millimeter thick. In the deepest layer at the back of the retina lie the light-sensitive neurons, the photoreceptors, cones, and rods. Listen to this. All 120 million of them. Is that incredible? Listen, to wonder if you are fearfully and wonderfully made, all you've got to do is stop and consider the miracle of sight. And know tonight that God's given you this gift, this sense of sight, in order to see His goodness. Let me tell you something. When you see a sinner come to Jesus through repentance and faith, you see God's goodness. Every time the waters of baptism are stirred, week after week after week, every time you see it, you're seeing the goodness of God. Hey, when you see your children following the Lord, you're seeing God's goodness. When you see your children reading their Bibles, you're seeing God's goodness. When you see people responding to God during the invitation, you're seeing God's goodness. When you see fruit on a tree, when you see grapes on a vine or figs on a bush, you're seeing God's goodness. When you see rain falling from the sky, when you see the sun rising in the morning, when you see the sun setting in the afternoon, you're seeing God's goodness. And the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen? I mean, think of all the things that we are seeing. And every time we see them, God's allowing us to see them, to see His goodness. Amen? Hey, you say, well, what if you don't have any sight? I was recently reading about Helen Keller, who was blind, deaf, and mute. I quote, "Helen Keller's remaining senses were so finely attuned that when she put her hands on the radio to enjoy music, she could tell the difference between the cornets and the strings. She listened to colorful down-home stories of life surging along the Mississippi from the lips of her friend Mark Twain. She wrote at length about the whelm of life's aromas, taste, touches, and feelings. And despite her handicaps, she was more robustly alive than many people of her generation." Now, in thinking about our sense of sight, I want you to join me in the 9th chapter of John's Gospel. So if you got a Bible with you tonight, and I want to encourage you on these Wednesday nights, bring a Bible with you, because we're going to use our Bibles, and I hope you'll have something right on, right with. John chapter 9. Well, we're going to find tonight Jesus giving sight to a man that was born blind. In fact, Jesus not only provided him sight, but He also provided him salvation. By the way, did you know you've got two sets of eyes? Well, you do. I mean, you not only have this set of eyes in your head, but you've got a set of eyes in your heart. In fact, when Helen Keller was asked about being blind, she said this, "It is better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." Amen? So we've got two sets of eyes. We've got the eyes in our head, and we've got the eyes in our heart. Folks, heart blindness is the worst form of blindness. So what causes heart blindness? I mean, have you ever wondered why some people can't see spiritual things? They can't see spiritual things. They can't sense spiritual things. They could be in one of our worship services and the Spirit of God moving all through the building. They don't see it. They don't sense it. Why is it that we've got people around us that have heart blindness? Well, Paul tells us why in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Paul tells us that the devil is a deceiver, and as a deceiver, he has blinded the eyes of the non-believers. I remind you, he is the producer of heart blindness. On the other hand, Jesus is the producer of heart sight. Jesus gives sight to the blind. Now, it's one thing to see with the eyes of your heart. It's something else to see with the eyes of your head. Listen, you can have 20/20 eyesight and be spiritually blind. Well, we're reading tonight about a man born blind here in John chapter 9 as we read about some things about our sight. I'm reading out of John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. And therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, well, he is like him. He said, I'm he. And therefore they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. I don't know where he is. By the way, next December, we are co-hosting a group to Israel. Have you heard about the trip? And on one day, we're going to be in the ancient city of David. And I was thinking how to visualize this, or give you a visual. Think of my hand here as the Temple Mount. You know the Temple Mount, right? Yes? Okay. This is north. This is south. Okay. And the city of David sits at the angle of my arm. You got the Temple Mount here, and you go downhill about that angle right there is the city of David. Think of it as it comes to a point and then like a triangle, okay? That's the city of David. The Pool of Siloam sits at the very southern tip of the ancient city of David. And when we go to Israel next year, we're going to be in King David's palace. We're going to be walking down to the Pool of Siloam, where the original steps down that led down into the Pool of Siloam were. We're going to be on the very steps that this man walked down as a blind man and walked up seeing. Is that incredible? We're going to be there. And if you're debating on going, let me just help settle the debate. You're going. Listen, you don't want to miss this opportunity. Now, Jesus told him to go to the Pool of Siloam and to wash. Now, after he received his sight, man, things got very interesting. In fact, beginning in verse 13, we read that the Pharisees got involved in this. They were always sticking their nose in the Lord's business. And that they got involved, they even started questioning his parents. In fact, after questioning his parents, they said, verse 23, his parents got frustrated with the Pharisees, and they said, hey, he's of age, ask him. In other words, hey, why are you asking us about what happened to him? We're his parents, but he's the one that was blind. He's the one that now can see. He's old enough. It's not like he's a child. Now, go ask him. Verse 24. So they called, again they called the man who was blind and said to him, here's what the Pharisees said to him. They said, listen, you need to give God the glory because we know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner. He answered them and said, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Well, the Pharisees got so upset about it that they literally kicked him out of the church that day. Now, pick it up in verse 35. It says that Jesus had heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him. Now, can we pause right there? Jesus heard they had cast him out. Now, the Pharisees shut him out, all right? But then it says Jesus found him. They shut him out, but Jesus sought him out. And it says that Jesus found him. Hey, aren't you grateful that Jesus finds us? Now, when it says that he found him, the idea of the word is that he was looking for him. He was looking for him. And I don't know about you, I am so grateful that Jesus comes looking for me. He keeps looking for us, and he finds us, and he saves us. And there are times in our life that we rebel against him, and you know what? He comes looking for us. He is a God that is constantly looking for us. Man, aren't you glad for that tonight? Well, three of you are. I know it's Wednesday. Okay, he found him and he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both, watch this, you have both seen him. And it is he who is talking with you. You see that? That's good, isn't it? It is, you have both seen him. Listen, God gave this blind man the sense of sight so that he could see Jesus. You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Now you think about it. This man was twice healed. I mean, he received sight for his eyes and his head, and he received sight for his eyes in his heart. And Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, briefly, from the life and the sight of this man born blind, I want to give you three thoughts to jot down. Number one, we can know that what we see influences our desires. What we see influences our desires. So why did Jesus go or tell that man to go to wash in the pool of Siloam? Well, the word Siloam, if you remember in the text, it is a word that means sent. S-E-N-T. And previously in this conversation, Jesus was reminding him that he had been sent from God. Listen, Jesus was teaching him and others that he had been sent by God. It wasn't just a coincidence that he sent him to the pool of Siloam. There were other places he could have sent him, but he sent him to the place translated sent to remind him and to teach him that he had been sent by God. Think of it this way. The clay, those mud pies, they were a picture of humanity with all of its weaknesses and faults. The pool of Siloam was a picture of Jesus who had been sent by God. And the washing of his eyes in that pool was a picture of Jesus who opens the eyes that are blind. Now, I want you to notice how this man's desires were influenced by what he saw. For instance, what he saw influenced his witness. What he saw influenced his witness. John 9:7 says, so he went and he washed and he came back seeing. Verse 25, he said, one thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Verse 27, he answered them, I told you already. This is so funny. I told you already. And he's talking to the Pharisees. And you did not listen to me. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to be one of his disciples? I can't help but laugh when I'm reading this conversation that happened between this beggar that had been begging all his life blind. Now he can see. Now he's having a conversation with the Pharisees. And he says, hey, listen, you want to hear it again? I mean, I've already told you once. Hey, if you want to hear the story again, I'll tell it to you twice. I'll tell it to you 2 to 3 times. And by the way, do you also want to be one of his disciples? Can you imagine how furious the Pharisees were at that comment coming from this man that everybody in the area knew who he was? They would walk past him all the time. They knew of his family. He was a guy, he was born blind. But here's what I want you to see, that through his sight, his desires changed, and it influenced his witness. Now he was even willing to witness to the Pharisees. He was quick to tell them, let me tell you what happened in my life. I was once blind, but now I see. And it is this man named Jesus that is responsible for the miracle that has happened in my life. Hey, I want to remind you tonight that once you see Jesus, that it will instantly influence your witness. How could you have been dead spiritually and now spiritually alive and not wanting to tell others what God has done in your life? I mean, how could you be spiritually blind and now have spiritual sight through the miracle of salvation, not wanting to tell others about what has happened in your life? See, this man, what he saw influenced his witness. It also influenced his worship. Verse 38, it says, then he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Hey, if you're making a note somewhere, you ought to jot this down. Believers are worshipers. Believers are worshipers. Listen, you don't have to beg a believer to come to church on Sunday to worship. Did you know that? Somebody whose life has been transformed by the power of God, listen, it is only a natural thing as a believer to want to worship the God that has saved your life, that has saved your soul, that's forgiven you of all your sin. How in the world can you not want to worship him after all he's done in your life, after all he's doing in your life, and after all the things he's promised he's going to do in your life? I'm just saying that what he saw influenced not only his witness, but it also influenced his worship. There's something else it did, if you're taking notes. It also influenced his walk. His walk. He's now walking in the direction Jesus walked. Now, you know, when he came to see Jesus and Jesus changed his life, it's not that he was now walking in perfection, but now he's walking in direction. You hear the difference? Listen, there's a big difference in walking in perfection and in walking in direction. See, sometimes we think that we give our heart to Christ and all of a sudden we've got to walk in perfection, and then we stumble somewhere along the way and we think, oh my, what's happened here? It's not that we walk in perfection. It is true that we walk in direction. That is the direction Jesus walked, in the direction of holiness, in the direction of righteousness, in the direction of selflessness. So we've got to ask ourselves tonight, am I walking in the direction that Jesus walked? Not perfection, but in direction. What he saw influenced his worship. It influenced his witness, and it influenced his walk. And you know, the same is true for us. I tell you, desires, whether good or bad, whether they're holy or unholy, they begin with our eyes. With our eyes. All these desires of this man changed when he saw Jesus, when God gave him sight. That's why Job tells us in Job 31:1, Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Did you know that verse is in the Bible? Job 31:1. Job, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Have you ever made a covenant with your eyes? Job felt the need, and we have the need in our life as well. I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? You know why Job made a covenant with his eyes? Because Job understood that what he saw influenced his desires. And folks, the same is true for us. What you see influences your desires. Do you believe that? Yes? Maybe we should just go on to the sense of hearing. We just skip on to hearing in the middle of this sight study. Listen, what we see influences our desires. You say, oh, well, you've said it two or three times. I'm still not convinced. Well, if you don't believe it, then explain this to me. Why was it last January during the Super Bowl that companies were willing to pay $5.3 million for a 30-second ad? Why are they doing it? Why are they spending $5.3 million for a 30-second ad? Let me tell you something. Madison Avenue understands it, that what a person sees greatly influences their desires. Amen? Now watch this. No pun intended. That's okay. Listen, what we see influences our desires, number one. Number two, what we see influences our decisions. Our decisions. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are what you think, and it begins with your eyes. But your eyes really are the window to your soul. And what you and I let in will eventually come out. You can put this down. Decisions come from desires. First comes desires. Where do they come from? Sight. First comes desires, then comes decisions. When desires are good, decisions are good. When desires are bad, decisions are bad. Hey, you do realize tonight that there is a battle going on for your mind. You do know that, don't you? I remind you, there's a battle going on, not just for your mind, in my mind, but the mind of your children and your grandchildren. And I tell you what, we have become so lax what we allow into the minds of our children. It all begins there. What comes into our minds controls the rest of our life. As one man put it, sow a thought, reap an act I'm sorry, sow an act. Let me just start all over. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Now, consider this man that received his sight. He first came into a new relationship with Christ. Out of that new relationship came new desires. And out of those desires came new decisions. Think of all the trouble and problems that came into the life of Samson because of his eyes. Judges chapter 14. Verse 1 says, now, Samson. Now, you know who Samson was. He was a judge. He was a warrior. He was from the tribe of Dan. He made the Nazarite vow. Samson. He was physically strong. Samson. Man of God. Judges 14:1. Now Samson went down to Timnah. Now we could camp there for a while. Timnah. You may not even know where Timnah is or what it was. Timnah was a Canaanite city. The Philistines lived there. So when I read that, my first thought is, number one, what in the world are you going down to Timnah for? A Canaanite city, a godless, pagan, Philistine town. Samson, what are you thinking? Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. I don't know. Oh, Samson may have got word. You know, they got some good-looking women down in Timnah. Hey, have you heard? I'm just telling you, the women down in Timnah, they're hot. Samson says, where's Timnah? Hey, man, we'll take you down to Timnah. We don't mind going with you, because that's where all the hot women are in Timnah. Oh, yeah, they're Canaanites. We didn't mention that to you. They're Philistines. Hey, you know what? But you can overlook all that, because these are some beautiful women, Samson. So Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife. By the way, marrying a pagan woman turned out not to be a good decision for him. It started with his eyes. He saw a woman from Timnah. Hey, skip down to Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Then Samson went to Gaza. Now let's talk about Gaza for a moment. Gaza, guess what? Was a Canaanite city. It too was a Philistine city. He knew what was there. Yet he had taken a Nazarite vow. He was a judge from the tribe of Dan, a man of God, the leader of God's people. He went to Gaza, and he saw a harlot there and went in to her. He made another bad decision that came from a bad desire that began with his eyes. You tracking with me? Verse 4 says, I'm in Judges 16. That was verse 1. Here's verse 4. Now, afterward it happened that he loved a woman. It's interesting. All these other times, with all these godless women that Samson is with, it never talked about loving them. None. Okay? But now it says in verse 4, now afterward it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Now, I have to confess, I had to do a little work today to remind myself where the Valley of Sorek was located. The Valley of Sorek was a valley that separated the land of Judah from the Philistines. You got it? He's still hanging with the Philistines. And her name was Delilah. And we all know how that turned out. You know, I reread, in fact, if you want to, Judges 16 later tonight, I reread that chapter today. And I had forgotten that it was Philistines that came to Delilah and said, hey, we'll give you 1,100 something. I forget the you can look it up and tell me real quick. That'll help. I think it was pieces of silver. I think it was 30 for a slave. They were offering her 1,100 to find out the secret of Samson's strength. The Philistines came to Delilah. She was living in the valley where the Philistines were. And there he was in a place where he shouldn't have been to start with again for the wrong reasons. And he ended up with this woman named Delilah. One of the saddest verses in the Bible, I think, is found in that 16th chapter in verse 20. Speaking of Samson, but he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Well, I don't know about you. That's a sad verse. That there was this champion. By the way, he was the judge for 20 years who fought against the Philistines. For 20 years as the judge, he fought and fought and fought year in, year out against the wicked, godless Philistines. And now, after all this has happened, he did not even know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines, his arch enemies, the Philistines, sons of fathers that he had killed in battle, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. I tell you, Samson, see, he was a he man with a she weakness. I'll let you drift on that for a moment. Now, our time is about spent. So let me wrap it up and give you one more real quick. That what we see influences our desires. It influences our decisions. And ultimately, it influences our destiny. Our destiny. For the man born blind, his decision to follow Jesus, and that decision forever changed his destiny. For Samson, his decisions influenced how he lived and how he died with the enemies of God, the Philistines. The blind man reminds us how God gave us a sense of sight to help us know him, to see God's goodness. Samson reminds us how the devil likes to take something that God intended for good to try to use it to hurt us. Hey, what will it be said of you? You know, your life will soon be a legacy. You know that, don't you? Listen, your life will soon be a legacy. And your eyes will determine much of what the legacy is that you leave behind. Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, and reap a destiny. The psalmist says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Hey, the more we taste, the more we trust. You remember that for 2 weeks ago? The more we taste of God's goodness, the more we trust Him. And according to that text, the more we see, the more we trust. The more we see His goodness all around us, life change, God's provision, those things that we see all the time and we take for granted, those things that we see happening, whether it's people walking an aisle. When was the last time you saw somebody walking an aisle and you thought, man, God's good? Or when you see somebody baptized on Sunday, you're seeing the goodness of God. Or when you see a prodigal come home to the Father, life changed, marriage restored, you're seeing the goodness of God. When you see the sun rising in the morning, you're seeing God's goodness. When you felt the rain coming down this morning and you saw it coming, you were seeing God's goodness. The more we see of His goodness, the more we'll trust Him. The more we taste, the more we trust. And I would encourage you tonight as you leave, man, keep tasting. Keep seeing. Keep trusting. Keep tasting. Keep seeing. Keep trusting. Keep tasting. Keep seeing. And keep trusting. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank You so much for a time in Your Word. It's a joy to open it and study it. And God, forgive us for seeing the things that we see without any consideration of Your goodness. But God, we acknowledge tonight that the sight You have given us is a part of being made in Your image, that we see because You see. And You've given us sight in order to see Your goodness. And by seeing Your goodness, learning to trust You. We thank You for these senses, God, that You've given us, how You've given them to us to help us know You, to help us move toward You, to help us trust You. We're grateful for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for being here tonight. I hope you have a great rest of the week. Hope to see you Sunday. God bless you.